Here's one. High, deep, right field. Home run number 101. Dead central off one of the umbrellas in right field. And this time, he did not miss the elevated two-seamer. Now, Kobe Mayo, that's a long drive to left field. Up off the moon and into the bird bath. Mullins and Mayo mashing and mashing. Back-to-back home runs for a 3-0 lead. Swings away and drives the ball to deep center field. It will hit the base of the wall. Westberg is in. Henderson hot on his tail, and he is safe standing. Bouncing ball, Bichette. This will be a game-ending double play. 6-3 turned by Henderson and Mayo. A big night for the Orioles offense as they take the opener from the Blue Jays 11-4.
Kevin Brown on the call, courtesy of Masson. And you heard him. The offensive barrage continued last night. The Orioles have now scored 34 runs over their last three games. Now, two of them, of course, coming against the lowly Rockies. But last night was really, really fun to watch offensively. Jason, because everybody reached base outside of Jackson Holliday. Adley Rutschman returning from being on the shelf for a month.
Smacking the ball all over.
He had three hits. Hey, Kobe Mayo could produce against a right-handed starter. How about that? He had three hits. Cedric Mullins, another vintage Cedric Mullins game, robbing a home run, hitting a home run himself. So much good to come from game one.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Like, you go up through the first game of the Rocky series, and they had played 19 games this month, and they had scored 66 total runs. Right? Only the Pirates had scored less, and now it's 30-something runs.
34.
So, that's baseball. Look, facing Toronto in desperation mode, right? Toronto went to their high-leverage reliever in the fifth inning. That's how bad they wanted to win that game when they went to Little. And they shellacked Little from the left side and the right side. That was a game that John Schneider and those guys really wanted, and the Orioles went and took it from them multiple times and destroyed that staff. Kobe Mayo, amazing what happens if you give a kid a little opportunity. You think we'll hear the JV manager talk about we can't win games with Kobe Mayo in the lineup anymore? You think we're going to hear any more of that nonsense? A lot of people slag Cedric Mullins, including Gigi, frankly, quite a bit. Well, guess what? Ryan O'Hearn, the alleged great trade chips, got a 650 OPS since Memorial Day. Worse than Cedric Mullins. So, you know, O'Hearn, the alleged power guy, who has more home runs? Remind me. O'Hearn or Cedric?
Ced.
Yeah. Yeah. And they both should have been traded well before now. But it's great to see what they're doing. Adley's at-bats were great. Gunner's in a nice vein of form right now. Westberg's making, he's barreling everything up. Like, it's good to see. It's too little too late, but it's the kind of thing they have to build on the final 55 games.
It's too little too late, but that's what we were envisioning this year. Like, the young core, everyone contributing. That's the type of offense, but unfortunately, the Orioles are at where they're at. They're still 10 games below 500, and the trade deadline is in 2 days. But I wanted to get back to Cedric Mullins, and it's been really cool to see these couple of standout games recently, and just seeing the fans, and we know that Orioles fans, they're smart. They get the situation, the standing ovation.
Even though the front office treats them like they're a bunch of fools and idiots, yes, they are sophisticated baseball fans.
He robbed the home run Saturday, had a big game there. We know that Ced is a streaky player. In April, he was red, red hot. Then he had a bad cold streak, but maybe this is Cedric Mullins getting hot at the right time for a potential trade suit.
Look, the idea that he had like this decrepit trade value is he's going to have a good, bad, whatever you want to call his season, he's going to have another 2020 season. It might be 23-23. Like, it might be 25-25. I don't know. depend on where he ends up and how much he plays and whatever.
And
but
also
like,
screw that defensive run saves.
Yeah,
the minus
I mean, right. I mean, and
whatever.
I look, I don't agree with Manzolino very often, but yeah, him talking about the difference between outs above average and defensive run saved, and how could there be an 18, you know, an 18 point discrepancy? Yeah, I'm with him there, and I don't know which is more right than the other. Look, I think he's going to play center field. Like, it's not too many center fielders you're going to put in front of him. So, to me, he's still a top 10 center fielder in baseball. Did he get on base as much as we'd have liked this year? I mean, no, but like, he's also in a walk year. It's the biggest disappointment in baseball, and they're batting him eighth and ninth every night. And they crown Jackson Holliday as their leadoff man forever and never gave him a shot to do that. Remind me, when he had a 30-30 season, where was he batting?
Leadoff.
Yeah. So, you know, they squatted on him. He said they never even attempted to re-sign me. I might have done a team-friendly extension here. They completely ignored me. Oh, yeah, and they categorically decided not to trade me when I had the most value. So there's a lot into it. They're human beings. Mike Elias never figured that out, but they're human beings.
Cedric Mullins' time in Baltimore coming to an end, but maybe, just maybe, the team is starting to wise up when it comes to Coby Mayo, where after starting three of the Orioles' first 15 games in July, not counting today. He started five of the last seven games, appeared in six. He's 7-for-14, two doubles, two homers, five RBIs. And Tony Mancelino already said he's playing both games of the doubleheader.
He absolutely should. It's silly. I mean, it is so backwards that it took us getting to, again, barely over 50 games to play to reach this point. This should have happened the moment he got called up and you were already 16 games under 500 or whatever it was at that time. I mean, it is... I'd like to see the JV bocce ball coach come out between games and say, you know what, I want to issue an apology to Coby Mayo. Like, I'm not very good at this. Like, you guys know I'm not really meant for this. Only Mike Elias, Bobo that he is, would have put me in this situation. But, like, I could have handled it better. And me, not just inferring, but outright saying we can't win with Coby Mayo in the lineup because this, you know, we got to play a broken down Tyler O'Neill and Razor Ramon instead of him. That was really stupid. And I shouldn't have said it. And you know what, Coby? You've dealt with a lot of BS since you've been here, both what's been said about you out loud, what's been whispered about you behind your back, and the way you've been handled with your playing time, and you owe better, and we're going to do better down the stretch. You'll never hear any of that. And the guy who really should be saying it is Mike Elias, because Mike Elias is the one who's responsible for us having to deal with Manzolino every day in the first place. But, like, you know, they don't have big boy pants. They're not a big boy organization. So we deal with Bush League stuff like Coby Mayo having to beg and grovel for playing time. And then when he gets it, having it stripped away from him.
So the Orioles won game one of a four-game series, 11-4. The O's are in action right now. This is a makeup of a game that got rained out in April. So doubleheader action. 12:35 was first pitch for game one. And then game two is going to be 6:35. Orioles currently lead the Blue Jays 4-3, top of the fifth inning. All four runs scored via sac fly.
You don't see that very often with this bunch. It's great to see. Smart situational hitting, not relying on the long ball, taking advantage of opportunities to move people over. And to, yes, you can score runs with outs. It happens. Good teams do it all the time. Charlie Morton is battling. I think that's the best way to put it. Doesn't have his plus-plus put-away stuff. Not missing as many bats as we've seen with peak Charlie Morton. I also wonder, you know, it's hot as hell. He's thrown 70-plus pitches. Like, you're 14 below 500 or whatever. You're not going anywhere. Like, well, maybe we get him out of it. Like, maybe we call it a day. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you get him out of here, like, healthy and call it a day and trade him.
I don't disagree. I think we all expected more than two trades, 2 days, almost 48 hours exactly. Yeah, well, I was trying to be optimistic.
I didn't either.
Yeah, they are who they are. They've shown
you thought
they've
one over the
they've
weekend.
They've been here seven freaking years.
Yeah,
they are methodical, navel-gazing, procrastinating losers. As a front office, they are losers. At the major league level, they take L after L after L after L.
Before we step out, I did want to end on a positive note. And yesterday was Mo Gabba Day, and that started in 2022. But I was looking up. Mo passed away July 28th, 2020. And on the anniversary of that date, the Orioles are 5-0 2021, they beat the Marlins 8-7. 2022, that was the Mancini inside the park homer. They beat the Rays 3-0, 23, 1-0 winners over the Yankees. Last year, 8-6 over the Padres. And last night, 11-4 versus the Blue Jays. So, Mo, definitely with the Birds on that day.
It is pretty amazing. A lot of those games, very memorable. And, like, I don't think he'd ever say this himself, because he's not wired that way. But when people celebrate the life of Mo Gabba, as they should, and as when these sports teams celebrate the life of Mo Gabba, like Jeremy Kahn should be incorporated. Like these yes. teams would not, like
yes.
Jeremy Kahn and Scott Garceau, yes. but I think Jeremy in particular,
sure.
are the reason that this city and anyone who paid attention to it fell in love with that young man.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I just, like, I think that needs to be told. Like, Jeremy, being the kind of person he is, was a conduit to take that young man, discover what that young man was all about, and really go above and beyond, giving him a chance to enjoy the gifts he had, to not allow the gifts he didn't have to define him, and to make these teams and these owners and Baltimore aware of what someone with those challenges could still accomplish. So I just hope that doesn't, you know, sort of get lost in the sauce. Trey Mancini had a special relationship with Mo Gabba because of Jeremy Kahn.
I was telling Ben this yesterday. That was one of the cooler moments being a part of this show. Was remember that Mancini was a day game and just
yes.
call after call after that game,
yes.
just talking about the moment, the people in that stadium, because that was very, very special. And look, the fans existed for 16 years now, 15 years, whatever it is. The best moment, the best
Absolutely.
Show was the Big Mo show.
Yes, not even, no question about it.
With Jeremy. And whatever second is, it's a very, very distant second. Well, I was out at One Winning Drive yesterday. Today is Ken Wyman's turn. I am taking a little joy in the fact that it's even hotter today than yesterday. So Ken, he will be calling in.
Football gods know what they're doing today.
Yes. He will
Hat
be
tip football gods.
He will be calling in from practice at 2:45. Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBT coverage. He's going to be with the Bobster today at Pickles Pub. Mike Bordick joins us at 3:00, and Buck Martinez. We're going to be talking Blue Jays with him at 5:00.
Yeah, a lot to get to. Perhaps there'll be a transaction made by the Orioles today, although I wouldn't hold my breath. We'll preview the second game. You're going to definitely want to be with us between games 1 and 2. We'll have you covered on the Orioles side there, and it's going to be heavy Ravens and NFL outside of that. A lot of sights and sounds going on at Ravens camp. You know, we've got eyes there with Gigi. And yeah, I mean, look. If they do a number on Toronto here, all of a sudden it opens the door back up maybe for the Yankees and I guess possibly the Red Sox. It sounds like the Rays are selling. But yeah, we'll keep you abreast of anything going on in the baseball world, as this should be 48 of the more interesting hours of the season from a transaction standpoint.
We gave the offense flowers for last night, but how about the bullpen? 4 2/3 shutout innings pitched. What does the future of this bullpen look like about 50 hours from now? And heck, even beyond, going into the offseason, how much of a makeover could be in store? We'll tell you next on The Fan.